Verse 36 out of 1 Chronicles 16, we read there, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting." Then all the people said, "Amen," and praise the Lord. Let's say this together. Then all the people said, "Amen," and praise the Lord. That's what they did in Israel. They were quite responsive in their worship service there in the Old Testament. The God of Israel, Yahweh, Jehovah. Jehovah was known as a God who provides, Jehovah Jireh, if you remember that. That's the name of God, the God who provides. To him be all praise, the God who provides. Jehovah Rapha is derived from the meaning the God who heals. And he had told Israel that he would be their physician. "I am the Lord, your doctor, your physician. I am the Lord who heals you." What a promise. Our healing is in the Lord's hands. And whatever our ailments is, we can trust him that he is our Lord who heals us. Last week, my oldest sister was buried. And I hadn't seen this for a while. Mennonites have this tradition, this custom that the casket is not just lowered into the grave. It is prepared and then covered. And then the men, and in this case, the husband, who would take a shovel and throw the first shovel of dirt into the grave of his wife. It is an honor. That's a tradition, an honor to bury the dead in the belief and while singing songs. Now, I remember in my childhood, we grew up with that, and it was, again, a refresher for me to see and experience this. During the shoveling, the men take turns shoveling, and songs of hope are sung. Because we live in a time where we know we will die, but with this earthly life, it's not all over, because God is eternal. And he has given us eternal life through Jesus Christ. And I want to look at reasons for thanking God today. Do you have reasons to thank God? Most people have reasons for their behavior. If they behave in a bizarre fashion, we say, well, they have certain reasons for it. It's because of such and such. They have reasons for their decisions or even their attitudes or their lifestyles. And most of those reasons are actually of a negative nature. And some will excuse their attitudes and their behavior and their decisions by saying, well, others made me do it. And the ultimate is always blaming the devil. The devil made me do it. Of course, the devil can tempt us. The devil can influence us. But I would like to argue that the devil cannot make us do anything if we cling to Christ and to the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen? He cannot make us do anything if we don't want to. But we got to cling to Jesus Christ. Others say, well, that's just the way I am. It's my nature to be like this. If you don't like it, then just get out of my way. And sometimes it's good to get out of certain people's ways, to leave them to themselves, because they don't want to change. But it's also in the human nature not to be grateful. I said in the German service, and those of you heard it again, sorry, you have to hear it again. I said it's not in our nature to be grateful. Because we have to teach our children to say thank you. Why is that? Why doesn't that come natural? So they're given a gift, a small child is given a gift. Now say thank you. Why do we have to teach them to say thank you? Because it's not in our nature. We don't like to say thank you. We don't like to be grateful. That's a sinful nature. That's how deep we are sunk as a human race. It's not natural for us to say thank you. It's very important for us to focus on the positive. In this Thanksgiving season, and of course, for us, the official Thanksgiving day is today. Last year, we were in Edmonton, and didn't we get treated well there? I mean, we were like the kings and queens of the... I mean, it was just, we were a guest choir, and it feels good, but... it's so much work, right? But anyway, we were there and we were blessed and we celebrated Thanksgiving three times, my wife and I. First in Edmonton, and then the next Sunday we will have Thanksgiving here. And then later in the States, when the Thanksgiving Day is in the States, we plan to be there with our family and celebrate there again. It's not too much. Maybe too much to eat, but otherwise, it's not too much to actually celebrate Thanksgiving, to find reasons to thank God. Do you have reasons to thank God today? Maybe you say, well, look at all the things that are going on in our time. If I think about all this trouble that is going on and the shooting in Las Vegas and all the political wrangling and battles and all the rumors of war and the storms and the nature, how can we be grateful? Even in the midst of the storms, we can be thankful. I think sometimes it's good to just turn off the news and just say, okay, I have enough. I need to focus on the Lord here. And sometimes we get so worked up about the things that happen around us, right? I mean, people are in the government that we don't like, and we just can get into it so passionately, and we waste our energy, we waste our mental energy and our soul energy on that. We should direct that towards the Lord and say, thank you, Lord, that you brought us this far. Because guess what? You and I can do nothing about what is happening in the grand scheme of things. All we can do is do our little share of giving God thanks and serving him faithfully and being true to his word. That's what we can do. I know there's a lot of trouble in this world. And even Jesus says, in the world you will have tribulation. You will have all of that. That will come. And that is to be expected. So if you hear the news, you hear another breaking news event, then you just say, well, what else is new? I mean, it's nothing new. Because Solomon says there's nothing new happening under the sun. Everything kind of repeats itself because we live in a sinful world that you and I cannot change in the grand scheme of things, but we can change our attitude. We can change our little realm that we live in and make it worshipful, like a temple of God, because the Bible says that our bodies are the temple of God, that wherever we go, we are... Our hearts are places of worship where we worship God, where we honor him, and we find reasons to thank God. So in Thanksgiving celebration, it is much more than just having turkey dinners and pies and entertainment and family, chatting with family and friends. And usually those chats are not that spiritual either, right? I mean, Sometimes families, when they get together in Thanksgiving, they are so stressed out and they have argued about issues and about things and about opinions. And then they go home and they feel just totally exhausted over all the things that happened. That's not the Thanksgiving that God wants us to celebrate. Simply finding reasons to thank God. I want to give us a few reasons. The number one reason, the core reason to thank God is this, that God, the great almighty God of the universe, the creator of the visible and invisible world, he gave us life. And with life, he gave you a purpose. We are not on this earth by accident. Sometimes it's expressed, well, you know, certain babies were born that were not planned and it was an accident. No. Don't even entertain that thought. You were not an accident. That's cheapening life. Life, human life, comes from God. And this is why this abortion issue, I believe that is threatening the free world nowadays, that anybody and everybody could get an abortion, kill what is already alive in the womb, to kill it, just because of the rights issue. That rights are more important than life itself. That's not godly. God loves life. He gives life. And every life should be valued as very important because it's very important in God's eyes. And it doesn't matter. It has absolutely nothing to do with where we come from, what race we are. Right, brother, here? We're all equally valued. Whether we are from China or Japan or Africa or South America. I'm from South America. I'm not the privileged Canadian or privileged U.S. No, I'm from South America. And I'll say that because that's where I was born. It doesn't matter. God gave us life. And every life has a specific purpose. And that purpose is to be lived out. It's a potential. It's like God gave us life, and now there's an expectation. And this expectation is, okay, what is this life going to become? This life is like a budding plant or flower. And how will this life unfold? And how will this life now praise God, the creator and the giver of this life? That is the view that we need to have about life. God made man out of dust and breathed into him the breath of life. Thus became man a living soul. So every human being is a living soul that has God's breath in it. And that's why we thank God. We thank God because we are. He made us. We say, well, you know, there's a lot of arguments about how many people there should be in the world, and there are secret plans to control the world's population, and all of these things have gone on for years, even in China and other countries where they try to curb the world's population. But every life is valuable and in God's eyes has a purpose before God. You say, well, what about the mentally ill? What about the people with the Down syndrome? You know, the world would look at that and, you know, how it used to be, the secular view, the humanistic view, humanism. What they want is to eliminate all cripples. And now old people, did you know that this year so far in Canada with the euthanasia, 2,000 people are already killed by doctors? 2,000? and it's climbing. Life is not looked at as valuable in the world's eyes. And I think this is why they cannot see how can a sick person, how can a cripple, how can a Down syndrome person be glorifying to God? We cannot understand that oftentimes. But I tell you one thing. When you look at a person with Down syndrome, and we had a sister, and I grew up in a home where there was a Down syndrome sister. You know, we learned a lot growing up with a Down syndrome sister. And I wouldn't want to miss it. Because God has something special with those people. And I want to just emphasize this. We bear the image of our Creator, no matter what condition we're in physically, no matter what race we're from, what country we're from, we bear the image of our Creator. And God has a purpose and a breath in each of His creation. But the life in Christ is, of course, after we have been redeemed, after we have been forgiven, that's the greatest reason to praise the Lord. Then everything is overshadowed by this life in Christ. Paul says, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. So Christ overtakes everything, overtakes our soul, our minds, and we are in Christ. What we are in Christ. Our identity is in Christ, not in our work, not in our race, not in our any of the other stuff, not in political views. Our identity is in Christ only. And once we grasp that and we are so thankful for it, we just hold on to this life in Christ and we want to grow ever closer to Christ and ever closer to God through all that He has provided for us. We become grateful and it is precious in His sight. We have so many blessings from the Father. And we have the great promises. Although in this life we will never experience all the promises of God's word, I know that. But one day, on the other side, all of His promises will become true. Thank God for His provision. God has sustained us. We say, well, no, that I did that because I worked hard and I earned it. And, you know, kind of like this old fellow who had a really nice garden. And he invited the pastor for lunch. And after lunch, this old fellow, he went to show him the garden. And the pastor just wondered and marveled and said, oh, man, look at those tomatoes. I mean, God is really, I mean, He has done a great job. Look at how God has blessed you with this. And look at how God has blessed you with this. And this is just wonderful. And then all of a sudden, this old man, he said, now hold it, Reverend, hold it. It's not that I didn't have anything to do with it. You know, if it wasn't for me, it wouldn't be. You know, you should have seen how the garden would look if God would do it by Himself. I mean, He needed my help. He had a little pride here. He wanted to have some kind of recognition that He had contributed to this, that it wasn't all God. But isn't it funny how we want to have this recognition, but yet, what did this farmer, what did this gardener have to work with? Everything that he worked with was provided by God, right? So everything you and I work with is provided by God. You cannot earn a paycheck unless God gives you the health and the strength and the know-how how to do your job, or you will not have a paycheck. And if you don't have a paycheck, you can't pay your bills. And if you can't pay your bills, you can't live in the house. And if you can't live in the house, then, well, goes on and on, right? everything from God. God has promised his children. Did you know that 1/3 of the human population suffers hunger and starvation? 1 out of 3 people? That's a lot, right? They don't have enough to eat. That is remarkable. Even in our time, we have such plenty, a fullness. But God promised us, his children, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But hasn't it felt as if God has forsaken us at times? I have a book. I know this pastor was a Nazarene pastor. He's retired now, Stan Toler. He's written numerous books. He wrote a book that's entitled, God Has Never Failed Me, But He Sure Scared Me Half to Death Sometimes. And that book has my attention. Sometimes we're scared half to death, right? Because of how life treats us, how the world treats us, how we experience life. But God has promised you and me, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He didn't say that you will not go through dark valleys, that you will never be scared, that you will never have troubles. He didn't say that. He just said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will see you through to the end. And sometimes it's hard to comprehend because of all the things that are around us, the demands of life. But then, if we look at the spiritual blessings that he has given us, it kind of lifts our souls when we think of that, right? In Ephesians 1, verse 3 to 6, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, who already has blessed us. From his fullness we received, we were given. Grace upon grace. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. When Paul says every spiritual blessing, I kind of ask myself, have I received every spiritual blessing? I'm not sure. But I want them. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to the adoption of sons through Christ Jesus to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. Now that's blessings. Spiritual abundance. Why should we starve spiritually? Why should we be going around being totally spiritually confused? It's not needed, because he has blessed us with all the spiritual blessings that we can think of. The third area of being grateful for is the people in our lives. I have learned over the years to thank God for my family, to thank God that my parents had more than 12 children, because I was number 12, to thank God for all of his people. So if we reflect on Thanksgiving this weekend and the next, I want to think about this, thanking God for our family. In fact, my wife may not know it, but I thank God for Anne every day. I thank God for family every day. I thank God for friends, for relatives and neighbors, for those that acknowledge us, those that bless us, and maybe even for those that challenge us. But especially, we want to thank God for our church family. And this is why the writer of the book of Hebrews says, do not forsake the assembly of the believers. Why is that in the Bible? Why is in the Bible that we should go to church on a regular basis? Why is that? Because when you're not here, it's not that you miss out on something. It's that we miss you. And God misses you. You say, well, God can see me everywhere. You know, I can go into the forest and pray, and I can pray and sing in the bathroom, and wherever I am, I can worship God wherever I am. But do we? If we don't attend church. It's not about just worshiping God personally. It's loving our church family. And I have to declare this today again. I love each and every one of you today. And if something were to happen to any one of you, you know, tragic or anything, I would be deeply saddened and have tremendous sympathy and pray for you. Because we need to choose to interact with believers. Some people say, well, you know, I would love the church a lot more if it wasn't for so-and-so. The church is more than one person. The church is more than a few people. The church is the body of Christ. And if we love Christ, we cannot separate our love for Christ from the love to the church. You cannot separate. Because the church is the body of Christ. And that's why we thank God for the church. Thank God for the church that when you have a need or when you have a 70th or 75th or 80th birthday that you receive a fruit basket from the church. That's one thing to thank God for. And I'll be personally delivering it to you and pay you a visit, whether you like it or not. You can do with it whatever you want, but we love you, and we hope you love Christ. And it is always a pleasure for me to help celebrate those milestones in brothers and sisters' lives when they come to the point where they're older and they basically enter the evening of their life. And then to learn from their lives and to hear their stories and to participate in the celebration, thanking God for his people. Some of you have served the Lord in this church for many, many years, for many decades. And that's to be appreciated. And you don't know how much I appreciate the faithful servants of God in the church, because I know God will reward it. Because you're part of God's people, of God's kingdom. You're part of God's church that he builds, and because of your work and efforts, even if it's behind the scenes, even if no one sees it, but God sees it. And for that, I thank God. I thank God for the teams, for example, that we have when it comes for food, when we have program nights. There are teams in place, and they rotate, and it goes off just wonderfully. And even last Sunday night, I just saw this marvelous coordination and cooperation. And we had plenty of food, didn't we? There's one problem. When I come home, it takes me a long time to fall asleep because I ate too much. But anyway, it's always great. And then also with the preparation for food for other fests, whether it's the May Fest or the Thanksgiving. I don't know what to say, but I have to thank you today. I appreciate that deeply. And then the prayers. Nobody sees it. Nobody knows that you're praying at home. You're on your knees. You pray for the church. You pray for the pastor. Nobody knows that. But God knows that. You pray for souls. You have this burden and you witness to someone. You talk to someone about faith. You invite someone to church. God sees that. I love God's people. And that's what we want to thank God for. Have you thanked the Lord for your church family lately? And when you thank the Lord for the church family, I would like to encourage you to take the phone number list and just, try that one time. Maybe you feel uncomfortable doing that, but take that phone number list in your prayer closet and say, Lord, I want to thank you for my church family. I want to thank you for what so-and-so is in my life. And maybe you don't know everybody on the list, and maybe then it's time to start calling some of them. If you have the wrong number, you just call me, and I may have the right number. I may not, but I'll find out. But just interact with the church family. It's such a blessing. It's not trivial. It's to be taken serious and to be appreciated. I remember years ago, an old pastor in Texas in the English church, he told us something that I will never forget. Excuse me. He said, remember to court the bride. And I knew exactly what he meant. To love God's people. To love God's church. To just have this attitude, I don't want to be without a church. I don't want to miss out on the body of Christ, on all the blessings he provides. I don't want to separate myself from the body of Christ because I cannot be on my own island. Start thanking God for the church. Thank God for individual people in the church. You know what I thank God for a lot of times? That we have so many brothers and sisters from different countries, from different continents. I think, Brother Helmut, you said we're almost done. We need one from where? Iceland? Antarctica. We need people from Antarctica, but that may take a while. It's too cold there. But anyway, we are so grateful for that. Just think of the richness that we have from Russia, from Germany, and yes, from Mennonite background. That, we cannot forget that. From Paraguay, from Brazil, from Africa, from all over. And we're a body of Christ. We believe in Jesus Christ. And we can exchange so much. We can enrich each other so much by sharing out of our culture, out of our traditions, what we have. I really, really appreciate Brother Cola with their traditions when he tells me about how they have different traditions and everything. It's so enriching. It's such a blessing. And I would like to encourage that we appreciate it. These little things that we often overlook. We'd say, well, you know, I'm not used to that culture. I don't care what that. No. Explore and find out. How is it in other cultures? Then, because, you know, when you read the book of Revelation, guess what? Oh, man. There's going to be people from every nation under the earth, from every nation, and they will bring in their glory, and they will enrich heaven with the different ways of culture. Not idolatry, not sinful stuff, of course not sinful stuff, but the different cultures, because God created us that way. He wanted it that way, and we will be unified and forever. And so if we will love the church then, why not love it now and say, thank you, God, for the church? Let's say it all together. Thank God for the church. Amen. Not only here in this place, but also all over the globe. God has a people. I want to close with this. How can we live in thankfulness? Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 to 9. I thank my God every time I remember you. when I read that, I thought, oh boy, when you remember certain people, does it cause you to thank God for them? Or does it tense you up? Anyway, but I thank God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began the good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. That makes all the difference, right? I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. May God bless you. Amen. Let's stand for prayer.